This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
How does that impact your ability to hit and hit for power there?
I mean, let... That happened yesterday too. Danny loves that stuff. Sorry.
Poor Taylor McGregor. That did not sound like the water was warm when she got that the Gatorade spray. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. And she joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. She is the reporter for the Marquee broadcast. You can also find her on ESPN's college football coverage. And she does a Roku broadcast or two. Taylor McGregor, thanks for joining us here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
Well, guys, it's so good to join you. That moment in Milwaukee was hilarious because, like, you just don't expect Gatorade bags on the road. It wasn't a walk-off situation. I was so confused. It was totally caught me off guard, but it was a lot of fun, and I think it's been sort of encapsulating of what we've seen so far with the Cubs. It's been a really fun season so far.
By the way, while we're doing hilarious moments, and we'll get to all the serious stuff, Taylor, I got to tell you, you on Friday night won the broadcast. Do you know what I'm talking about right now? How you won the broadcast on Friday?
Oh, gosh. What did I do? I don't even remember.
Oh, no. It was so good because Boog Shambi, who is from New York, told everybody that it's not, you don't say Manhattan, it's Manhattan. Like, that's the pronunciation. And maybe the Chicagoized version of it is Manhattan. And I feel like most people say that. But then Boog was actually saying Manhattan, and you called him out during the broadcast, saying you're saying it. He was stunned, and it was all in good fun, but he was stunned silence from that. That was a win, Taylor McGregor.
I'm glad you appreciated that. Yeah, that's what's so much fun about our crew. We can kind of poke fun at each other because there are very few moments where I've locked Boog up, but I locked him up in that moment. So I forgot about that. I'm glad you enjoyed it because I was quite pleased with myself.
We are definitely fans of chop busting is the proper way to call it, right?
Chop busting.
Yeah, because I would say busting other things, right. But hey, keep this FCC regulated around here. But no, Taylor, it has been a fun season. I know a tough last couple of series with the Cubs dropping them to the Giants and then obviously going to Queens. Am I saying that right? Queens? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually Manhattan is what it is.
I'm just trying to pronounce things correct. I don't want to be on the end of her, you know, coming after her. Don't come for me, Taylor. I don't want the smoke.
She'll stop you in your tracks.
I would never.
But overall, just how do you get a sense of relief from whether that's yourself having to watch this high-level baseball that you've watched so far this season at kind of the quarter pole mark, or just from the players and or coaching staff with getting to this stretch now where you see the Marlins for six games and the White Sox with three in between?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that is so funny about the game of baseball is it really depends on how your team is playing. And it's the major leagues. And you know, maybe the White Sox, especially last year, they maybe weren't up to that same standard, and you can make the argument the Rockies aren't this year. But, like, for the most part, these are major league teams, and if your team isn't playing well in that moment, I don't really care if you're playing a sub-500 team. The results just might not be there, and vice versa. Like, the Cubs had a really good April. They were playing really well. They had a lot of their bats that were really hot, and they were able to beat a lot of really good teams. So I think there certainly is a little bit of relief that maybe an easier schedule is coming up, but at the same time, like, they're more focused inward and how do they get their key pieces healthy and how do they get their main bats going? You know, there's been a little bit of regression when it comes to the offense. And so I think the bigger concern, the bigger worry is like, all right, let's get back on track to where we know we can be.
I mean, that's how we feel on Mondays. Unfortunately, Taylor, I feel like the issue is on Mondays we come in and we're talking about a Cubs team that looks very different from, say, the Friday in that respective series. This time, not the case. They lost on Friday. But either way, the offense has sputtered on those days. It's enough to talk about it where I think you're right. There has been a little bit of regression. What is your opinion on not only them struggling on Sunday specifically, but also just having some issues come up that I think they had moved past when they built this roster?
Yeah. that's the nature of baseball. Like, Craig Council says it all the time. It's very rarely, actually, it really never happens that you have a guy just hit, like, 280 throughout the whole season. Like, there are going to be highs and there are going to be lows, and that's how you put together season numbers. And that's the way the sport has always been and will continue to be. So there were a lot of things that clicked in April, and we expected regression. We did not expect this team to hit over 6 runs a game for the rest of the season. That just would have set an insane record. So that was never the expectation. So the fact that we're seeing regression is not surprising. I think it's just managing it and hopeful, and you hope that maybe the rotation can step up. There's obviously significant injuries there, but could you get maybe some better starts from your rotation when the offense can't carry the load like they did at points in April? So I think it's just kind of managing the bumps of a season, because the bumps are going to come, and that's part of what makes our game so beautiful.
Well, and I think when you're talking about that regression, it's also basically timing. How long is Kyle Tucker's, quote, slump, end quote, and I say that loosely, knowing that for him, his bat is still pretty good. You know, how long does that last? Like, do you see him hit for more power even this week, given the opponents? What's been your impression of his mentality, or just when you talk to him, the discussions that you've had when he talks about his performance on this team?
Yeah, he's very a simple guy is probably the best way I'd describe it. And I was funny, over the weekend, I talked to Pete Alonso, and Pete grew up with Kyle, so he's known him since high school. And he was like, Taylor, his swing has been the exact same his entire life. Like, he's always just been this naturally good baseball player. And I think that's why over the course of his career, you've seen the consistency. Is he just knows who he is. He's confident in who he is. And sure, there are going to be some ups and downs, but I think he, more than anyone else, is confident that at the end of the season, you're going to look at the back of the baseball card and it's going to speak to the numbers that we're accustomed to seeing. So there's no panic with him. He knows what he brings, and I'm sure he'll get back to being the Kyle Tucker that we've seen.
Yeah, and his numbers, I think it was you guys on Marquee Sports Network put up a graphic with stunningly similar career numbers to Juan Soto. A little 2-year age difference, I believe, between the two, but it is something. Taylor, what did you think of Cade Horton's first start?
You know, I thought it was impressive. There was some things that were really, really great. I thought, you know, he said to us post-game, you might have heard it, the final at-bat to Soto. Soto had fouled off some pitches, which is part of what makes the jump to the major league so challenging for these young pitchers, is that some of the put-away pitches that they got away with in the minor leagues, you can't in the majors. Those guys can foul them off, and so all of a sudden you're deep into counts, and how do you win the at-bat? And the final AB against Soto, he'd thrown some fastballs, couldn't get him to chase on any sliders. And then he wanted to throw a changeup. He had not thrown a changeup the entire game. And I guess Miguel Amaya called for a fastball. He shook him off, threw a changeup, and got him. So, like, even a little moment like that against Juan Soto, you haven't thrown a changeup all day, and you're confident enough to shake off your catcher, throw that pitch, and then get the result you want. Wow. Like, I think that says a lot about the young pitcher. And then, look, he's super athletic. That's part of why he's here. He's an incredible athlete. He was recruited to play baseball and football at the University of Oklahoma, which that in and of itself is, like, impressive. And now here he is in the major league. So super athletic. I think he's smart. And I'm excited to see what he could bring in the absence of Imanaga.
Taylor McGregor, reporter for Marquee Sports Network, joining us here on Raheemy and Harris, along with Mark Grody. And Taylor, we saw Horton come in after the opener was used in Brad Keller. What's your understanding on that approach and whether or not they'll utilize it again? Because I think all of us, looking at how the back end of the bullpen has looked shaky throughout and a lack of consistency, we're hoping Cade Horton can get to the point where he can throw 5 or 6 innings and the back end of the bullpen can be helped by a guy like Brad Keller.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a unique situation just because of the Mets lineup. Like, if he made his first start against the White Sox, you probably don't see that because you're facing Lindor, Pete Alonso, and Juan Soto, three of the best hitters in our game. So I think it was really just to try to give him a place to have success and a softer landing, if you will. So I think that was sort of unique to that Mets series. And I do not believe that will be the case moving forward. Maybe if you're facing another team that's just stacked at the top, like the Dodgers, luckily the Cubs don't have to face the Dodgers again, you could see a similar situation. But for now, I think you'll probably see him get the traditional start, if you will.
What's your understanding of how Ryan Pressly is going to be utilized in the immediate future?
Lower leverage situations. I think they still want him to pitch. They need him to figure this out. And so they want to put him in situations and they want him to get appearances. It will just be not in the high leverage situations like we have seen in the early parts of this season.
Wow, I understand based on what we saw last week, especially, that makes it all make sense, Taylor. But I also think when we've talked to him, and I know it's probably the same for you, he's a guy who will tell you about how in the playoffs he hates to lose. The ERA shows it. You know, he's a competitor. So I'm curious as to his attitude with all of this. And I don't say attitude like giving it, but just the mentality he's got right now.
I think he's frustrated. Listen, any guy who's used to having success at this level, when they don't, it's frustrating. And even at the beginning of the year, like, he couldn't figure out why he couldn't throw pitches in the zone. Like, all of his secondary stuff was in the dirt, and that was frustrating. And then he bounced back, and he had a good little two-week stretch. And so I think there's some streakiness to his game, and I think there's frustration on his end, which understandably so. But I think we have to remember, like, nobody wants to figure it out more than him. So he's going to work and grind, and that's why I think it's important for him to still get appearances, because you can't grow and get better and try to figure it out if you're just going to, you know, not sit on the bench, essentially. Like, he's going to get appearances, and he's going to be given a chance to figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you one guy who's figured it out, man. I mean, like, just since the second, basically, Dansby Swanson was put down in the lineup, the dude's been hitting just about everything. Just keep him there, or does he make his way back up the lineup, Taylor?
I think there's probably some other things that may or may not happen that would indicate that, but he's comfortable there right now. And look, Dansby's a streaky hitter. We've seen that during his time in Chicago, and when he gets hot, he can carry a team, as Craig Counsell told me yesterday on the broadcast. And I think when he's going well, he's on time for the fastball, and he's crushing the fastball. And so I know he met with one of his hitting coaches in Pittsburgh. They sort of got back to him good and, you know, just helped reestablish his routine and what he wants to do, so that he's not showing up to the ballpark every day sort of chasing a feeling like, nope, this is what you're good at. Let's stick with this and just stay consistent in this. And look, it's only been a couple weeks, but it's worked so far. And it's just a matter of, like, how long can you extend this streak for?
I also want to ask you about Ian Happ. I think there was a brief discussion about whether or not PCA would continue to hit leadoff when Happ comes back from the oblique issue. But Craig Counsell snuffed that out pretty quickly yesterday. What's your takeaway from what will happen and if there is a possible timeline to Ian returning?
I would assume it's in the next coming days. Craig had told me yesterday that, you know, the hope was that he would be back in the lineup today. They were going to see how he felt after swinging a bat yesterday. But even the fact that he was swinging a bat, I think, is an indication, like, this truly is day-to-day, and there's no expectation that it'll be an IL stint or anything like that. But it's so funny. Like, everybody wants PCA at the top of the order, and I understand it because of the speed and the tools. But, like, we also have to remember Pete's a very aggressive hitter, and some of that, especially right now, like, doesn't always lend itself to being great for getting on base. And ultimately what you want at the top of the lineup is somebody who can get on base, and Ian gets on base. So Ian is a better leadoff hitter right now. And so, like, I get the other things, but you want your best hitters getting the most at bats. And right now, like, Ian has earned that spot and he deserves it. And he's proven over the course of his career that, you know, the numbers sort of are there for him. So I hope one day, and I believe one day, we will see Pete at the top of the lineup. But for now, that's Ian's spot. And I've said this too, like, when Pete is hitting at the top of the lineup, it will be a good thing for the Chicago Cubs, because it will mean that he has become one of their consistently best hitters. And everybody wants that for Pete, but he's just not there quite yet.
Well, I appreciated the note you had last week too, talking about how Pete appreciates what Ian has done at the top of the lineup. Can you expand on that for people who may have not heard it?
Yeah, I think Ian really just sets the tone. And as I mentioned, getting on base is the most important part of that job. And Ian has gotten on base better than anybody, or as good, if not better than most people in the league. And so I think there's an element of getting that extra at-bat every single day, being consistent in your approach that Pete really respects. And that's what Ian has brought. You know, we don't want to lose sight of how good of a baseball player Ian Happ is as well, and how good he's been at just getting on base and allowing the guys behind him to hit him in. Because part of the reason that we've had, that the Cubs have had so much success scoring runs is because they've had a lot of guys on base. And that begins with Ian Happ at the top of the order.
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Ian Happ with a .364 on base percentage. Kyle Tucker right behind him with a .379 on base percentage. Meanwhile, Pete Crow Armstrong, .304. That kind of tells that part of the story. But the story I'm so interested in is PCA already matching last year's home run total with 10. He actually leads the team in slugging outside of Carson Kelly, who's been otherworldly. Do you feel like where he is in the order when he drops back down is going to be all the way back down to 7, or will he be a little bit higher up to take advantage of some of the slug that he's been displaying?
Well, I think Craig actually likes the way or where he was in the lineup because it splits up the lefties. So it had worked. You know, it's kind of one of those things, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And it had worked. I guess we'll kind of be some matchup space and just also depend on where I'm gifted because my
Oh, there she is. Go ahead,
Taylor. Your signal's breaking up a bit on us. You might have to go back a little bit to repeat yourself.
Sorry. I was saying that Carson Kelly right now is hitting fourth because of the monster season that he's had so far, but let's say there's a little bit of regression there. You know, maybe you move him around. So I don't think that Craig is married to, one spot in the order. I think we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
Taylor, you covered Bud Black in Colorado. Am I right about that?
You are.
Yeah, so
good job.
I do my research. What did you think about his firing, and how quickly will somebody like Bud Black find a job as a manager again?
Well, that's a really hard situation because the manager, I don't care who's managing that team, it's not going to help. I think that organization has some serious changes they need to make. And hopefully this wakes some people up and it makes everybody realize, like, okay, changes need to come not just with the manager, but every other place in our organization. There's just a lot of things that need to be done there. And unfortunately, somebody had to take the hit, and that was Buddy. But nothing but respect for what Bud did in Colorado. I love that he wanted to be in Colorado, especially through all of the lean years. And, you know, we'll see. I don't even know if he wants to manage again. You know, he's got some grandchildren now. He's sort of on the back end of his career. So I think if he wants a job, he could probably find one. But I don't know if he even wants one. Now, I have not asked him that directly, but I would just have to believe that he's sort of on the back end of his career, and maybe he wants to spend more time with his family.
Taylor McGregor, thank you so much for your insight on not only the Cubs, but your former organization in the Rockies. We appreciate it.
Great to chat with you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, Taylor.
Taylor actually talked to us about the lineup. I see who we need to talk to about this now.
No, and what you said made sense. I mean, I've never been a PCA leadoff advocate because I know what on-base percentage is and what Ian Happ does well as far as working counts, extending counts. PCA is an aggressive hitter, so I've never had a problem with him being down in the order. I just wonder if maybe the 6-spot, 5-spot area might be a better fit given how he's just tearing baseballs.
We'll keep talking about it. My point was Craig Counsell doesn't like to. Oh. So that's where I was going with it. We have more to come here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on the Score. We asked for it. We want to know your reaction to the Bears draft class. We asked you to hit up the meatball machine. So the meatballs are next.
Meatball machine.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris. Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
All right, we have more breaking news, but first, good news. What's our good news, Mark Grody?
Caller 6 to The Score contest line, 312-540-0670, will win a pair of tickets to see The Who on Sunday, September 7th. At the United Center, tickets go on sale this Friday, May 16th, 312-540-0670.
All right, that was the good news. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Does this Marshall, deserve the breaking news treatment?
It does, because absolutely. It's pertaining to one Mars Hall Harris. Bruce Levine, our friend, colleague at the Score.
A lovely man.
He has tweeted, and I checked, it is indeed him.
I'm glad you
double-checked. WH Sox, so the Sox, DFA Gage Workman. That's two teams in the city.
Oh my God, I'm sorry for your loss.
That when you say it like that, that's sad.
It happens.
So now he's headed back through waivers, and if no one claims him, then he can be purchased by his original franchise, the Detroit Tigers, who can just put him back in the minor leagues.
Robbie, how do you feel about that?
No,
Gage Workman in the minors? That's not bad.
Oh, in the minors. Yeah, that's fine. He can work on his stuff there. Yeah.
He's got no problem. He's like, have you seen my team's record lately? Have you seen where we are in the standings?
Teams in baseball. Javi Baez, center fielder? Sure, why not?
Robbie's happy because they have pitching and depth.
We don't need Tater.
How dare you?
Poor guy never did get that revenge on the Cubs.
Man. All right, so that was your good news, your bad news, and now it is time for meatballs. We wanted to pay this off. We asked this a couple weeks ago, but luckily you guys just leave voicemails on our meatball machine. So let's go, meatballs. Let's see what you got.
Caleb Williams, 5,000 yards, 2025. Book it. Go Bears.
Hey, this is Fonzo up in Plainfield. I was just thinking that really running back wasn't that big of a need like everyone thought. I mean, we all wanted Roshan to get more touches last year, and you got Swift. You upgraded your blocking, your head coach, so blocking and scheme can definitely make for better running back play. So I didn't really feel that there was that big of a need there. Ian Wheeler be back. Seventh round kid out of Rutgers looks like a hard runner, doesn't fumble. So really didn't think there was that big of a need. I think overall the draft was good. Got some weapons. D-line was upgraded in free agency. And our second round pick looks also pretty good. So overall, I'd say it's pretty good draft.
See, I'll have what he's having.
Here's the danger of asking for people's opinions after a few days. You get reasonable thought out takes like that.
Yeah, it was super reasonable, super serene. I don't know where he is when he was leaving that message, but he sounds very peaceful.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
But I'm stuck here with Mark Grody, so no peace for me.
Excuse me. You think that see, this is what's coming next. Right now we're doing the Kyle Manunn guy, and now we're going to Ian Wheeler. Get ready for the Ian. What about Ian Wheeler? Here was a guy that nobody's talking about.
One really is talking about Ian Wheeler because he was hurt.
He just brought up Ian Wheeler. So
I'll tell you what nobody's talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear they're widening the roads over at Arlington Heights.
Shout out to the Pope. By the way, a separate issue, shout out to Jay Zawoski, just for the hell of it.
But also, people are talking about the Pope.
I know. Did you go to church on Sunday? I did.
It's because of the Pope and you wouldn't
have
gone otherwise?
No, I was with my... I go to church like a couple times a month, which I guess makes me not a practicing Catholic.
No, it does.
No, it does? Yes, okay, I went with my parents. We went to church on Sunday. And
Twice a month?
We call that a rotation. About twice a month, yeah.
You're rotational like a defensive lineman.
Yes, yeah, okay. I didn't know I was legit. Somebody on the text line said that wasn't legit, but that person probably, like my dear mother, goes to church three times a week.
Half glass full, not empty.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the meatball machine, here was the next one that we're talking about Ian Wheeler.
What about Ian Wheeler?
It's coming.
Is that it? That's the only thing they said?
That's the only
thing. That's amazing.
What did I tell you guys?
I love a good one-liner on the meatball machine.
Actually, that Ian Wheeler is perfect for a training camp story.
Ian Wheeler?
I should not begrudge that. I really should.
I love what about season when it comes
great.
To athletes and other things.
That's what camp is all about.
What else you got over there in that machine, Robbie?
Mm-hmm.
Henry Stash. North of Illinois. Yeah, I mean, just a thought, like, I like to think of it like a Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski type thing. Like, if we could run an offense how they were with before, you know, Aaron Hernandez went nuts, that's the kind of offense I think we should be running here. Something similar to that.
Sounds like Mike Martz. Well, it's like three cocktails. Mike Martz always sounded like that.
But also, a good point.
I was wondering how he was going to get off the Aaron Hernandez part of that, and it went about as I thought it would go.
He brought up football Aaron Hernandez as opposed to non-football Aaron Hernandez.
Two very different things.
So the thing about the meatball machine is it's not all about the draft takes. A lot of it is just whatever people have in mind, and we welcome that here. So.
Absolutely. No.
Wait
no,
a second. What you
right.
got are you setting, whatever are you setting people us up here?
We're going on a run of just whatever we have in the chamber, so let's fire off.
Oh, yeah. This is the cat whisperer again. Jazzy. Hey.
Aww.
Yeah. Layla said Dave the cat was hers. Was she trying to steal Grody's cat?
What?
Cat was burglar? She? You don't say. Oh my God.
A real life cat.
Well, Layla, what do you have to say for yourself?
Nothing. The cat caught me red-handed. I can't argue with her.
You were going to steal my cat. You were going to
He's
steal.
Just really cute and fluffy.
I was wondering why you were asking me what my evening schedule is this week. Is that what that was about?
Dave is I could just woo him with a hallway and a welcome mat and some food.
I think he's ready to branch
out. Doesn't
think
much.
Yeah, no, it
does. And then I could brush him.
He one time he was meowing in front of a different door. I'm like, what's up here? Are you trying to run away right now? Like, I don't know, maybe there was a smell inside one of the...
Run away fast as you can.
That's what was going on.
Is Diet Dave hangry? Is that what's going on?
He has been hangry lately, and I've been caving.
You should feed your cat.
Caving. Why have you been caving?
No, I mean, like, I have not been giving him more. He's just wanted food at early times, unfortunately. Like, because he's relentless. If you have a cat, like, they cuddle up next to you.
4:30 a.m.
That's what they start doing. They cuddle up next to you, and they kind of kiss up a little bit, you know, and they start purring, which is just adorable. But then they start meowing, getting in your ear, and it gets loud. And then I'm like, okay, I'll feed you so I can get another hour
like
of sleep.
Like a baby.
He's just a baby. He is.
And on some level, cats and dogs are basically like lesser developed toddlers.
Exactly.
But they have the similar mannerisms.
I mean, don't really compare dogs and cats. I get that.
This is why I do not have a pet.
No, my French bulldog, Betsy Bulldog, she was basically a toddler.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying dogs and cats are... So, well, I guess I
they
get
are similar.
Saying.
They both have to be taken care of. They both need their shots. They got to be taken to the vet.
Listen to this guy.
Listen, I refuse to get a pet until I can be a co-parent.
Supposedly, dogs see us as a different species, but cats just think we're them, and they don't understand why we're not as good at hunting.
Let me tell you something about cats. Like, there's so many people I know, including my niece. Like, she's the most recent to get a didn't necessarily like cats and then has a cat in her life and is like, it's the greatest thing. Like, people that don't like it, like when you have a cat, you're like, okay, they're actually pretty cool.
They bring joy.
Just watching cats is hilarious.
Yeah, because watching they're like cats wild, watch things is fun.
Right, because they're wild animals. They have not, like dogs have been overly domesticated. Cats have not lost their wild gene the same way dogs have.
We got enough people who are not domesticated these days.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Read a book, right?
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. In the contest of cat versus that person, give me cat.
Wow. A lot of people feel that way, too.
Yeah, I've threatened to get a second. I don't think I'm going to go that far because that'd probably do it for the dating life, because like if they don't like cat, one cat is enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's enough. That's what I mean. There's enough people that don't like cats.
What person do you want to hang out with who would be that judgmental?
That's a good point too. But that's a lot of cat hair too. So
it's a lot of cat hair. But if everybody's happy, who cares?
I'm allergic to some cats, so I get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are allergic, and I respect that.
Well, that happens. But yes, to the cat whisperer calling the meatball machine, I can't argue with your cat.
I have three words for you: Pope Dome.
Will that be the new name of the stadium in Arlington Heights?
He said Hope Dome.
Like Hope Dome.
But didn't he say three words?
Oh, he's doing the Pope Dome thing. Okay.
That's the bit.
Oh,
got it. We all have different interpretations. It's like a song.
I love it.
This is the meaning I got out of that song, that one song about anxiety that plays every 5 seconds now.
Oh, by Doechii?
Oh,
we like Nissan Altima in this house. That was a Ray find on the musics.
Oh, yeah? Does it also have... There's a song on Alternative Rock Station that is playing a song called Ritalin. What's going on with this generation? There's so many people who are wanting
dopamine.
They have
a lot of anxiety. Have you been outside lately?
No, that's true. I think the anxiety has always been there. They're just more forthright about it. They're educated. Like, in our era, we just sort of were passive-aggressive about it, you know? Man. Now they're just like, yo, give me the Ritalin. I'm going to write a song about Ritalin.
Fair enough.
And anxiety. And dopamine.
We got three more left in the meatball machine.
Oh, yeah, the meatball
machine.
Unload
the chamber.
Does anyone know what comes before Groat B?
I know. Can I answer it?
Groat A.
That's amazing. A. Where was that
Hey,
person?
Meatball Machine. Found a new spot to live. Not going to end up homeless. That's a plus. I'm also going to be moving out of this goddamn roach-infested, bedbug-riddled apartment complex that has raised its rent by $400 in the past 3 years. Also a plus. New place is also next to a lake, so I'm also really happy about that, too.
You found a place next to a lake that doesn't have an infestation.
That's awesome.
That's a win, yeah.
I hope down he burned all sickness. His stuff that had the bed bugs on it, though, because, yeah.
That's a lot of things to have at your apartment complex.
Yeah.
Sounds like we need a news investigative team on that. Get Jason Knowles on that.
And we have saved the last, or the best, the last one is the best one right here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it to Paul.
All right. This is for those White Sox fans. They're whoopsie-dipsie-doopsie-whoopsing around because the Pope's a Sox fan. That's great. Little bit of logic to bring you down to earth, which means a song parody from Paul in Evanston. 3, 2, 1. What's the Pope got to do, got to do, got to do with it? White Sox are just a second-hand sports team. What's the Pope got to do with it? White Sox are still a second-hand sports team. Do-do-do-do. Go Cubs. Do-do-do-do.
That's got to be the same guy, right? He's great.
That is the same guy.
How does he keep coming up with these? Keep on rocking in a Bears world? Wasn't that what it was? Just that part I got.
What if Pope was one of us?
I'm so sad.
That's amazing. That's a
very big shot. I will remind all the Cubs fans out there that the White Sox actually won their last series, unlike the Cubs.
Can you imagine just you're sitting there like in front of people or something? You're like, pardon me. I have to go make a call. And then you're just singing into the meatball.
What are you doing, hon? Oh, I'm just singing. What? So, I mean, that alone is ridiculous. It's the meatball machine, honey. Oh, gotcha.
I just imagine you're like at this formal dinner, you know, one of those big tables with all the place setting stuff. Then you're like, pardon me, I have to make a phone call. And then she walks to another room and just starts singing.
Just walks outside. The valet's looking at him like, is that guy okay?
It's like not Billy Madison. It's the other movie.
Another Anna Chandler movie?
Yeah, no, the one that's adjacent. It's Happy Gilmore. You know where he's singing to the speaker at the house.
I don't speak Adam Sandler movies. I know that sounds wild.
We all have our flaws. Yeah. That's one of your blind spots.
I got it. I'll take it.
Oh, that's such a good scene.
I'm being vulnerable. Leave me alone. I'm back with another actual what the bleep. From the 847, because they're listening to the meatball machine.
Oh, that's well, hilarious. Yeah, that's what the bleep
that's
is.
That's the it's point. The meatball machine isn't for us. It's for you.
It is. No, we accept everything on there. Everything on the meatball machine. No matter what we say, we love you.
That's
extra
right.
Meatballs.
Also, that's it's right. Just funny, and it's that time of year. Let's get weird.
We heart the meatball machine. I think we need to have the shirts made.
Thank
up.
You for all the people who have contributed to said machine since its inception.
Thanks to, you know what? Thanks to all of our listeners, period.
Well, yes. That too.
Yeah. But no, I got you. That's.
See? Shout out to the mob.
Also, 219 is right on the text line, Groats. That message is for you.
Oh, the top one? 847?
No, 219.
From the 219. What's up in the 219, y'all? Yeah. Oh, Mark, women love cats together. You're all good, buddy. Okay. All right.
Yep.
I see you.
Yep. Okay. Nothing to worry about, Groats.
Right. Get it, baby.
Except for the ones that are allergic. I mean, that's a deal breaker, right? That's in a relationship. That's it's over. It's done. Oh, you're allergic to cats?
Don't ask me.
I just packed the Claritin and keep it moving, bro.
I like that. Right. There are cures for such things.
I powered through a cat allergy for the right cause.
You did it all for the... There we go again. All for the Limp Bizkit. Yep.
Funny you should bring that up, Mark Grody.
Yes.
We have some more developments in America's least favorite saga. The Bill Belichick story continues.
Oh, Belly.
Oh.
Do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
If anybody's interested, we found out Jordan Hudson did not win Miss Maine USA. That went to a woman from Bangor, Maine. I forgot her name already. I'm Bangor. Sorry, guys. Hey, sorry. Stop that.
Sorry.
Her name is Shelby Howell. She's a Bangor native, and she's been named Miss Maine USA. It was a two-day competition held at the Holiday Inn by the Bay in Portland. Well, of course it's by the Bay. You're in Maine. Okay, enough of it.
Bangor, Maine.
I've never been to Bangor Gourmet, but I've seen it on job sites. That's about what I know about Bangor, Maine.
Yeah, there's always a job posted on TVJobs.com in Bangor, Maine.
Really? Is it not the greatest place to be, or?
There's just always a job open.
Seems like it would be cold.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Maine.
Sounds cold. Yeah.
Like, if you know where Maine is, geographically speaking, it's the top of
If you need heating oil to stay warm, that's where I draw the line.
Oh, yeah. I'd put a line, a very strong line there.
Hey, can I give something away real quick?
Yes, you can.
Caller 6 to the Score contest line, 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to our live broadcast at Brick House in Wrigleyville with special guest Ian Happ. That's on May 28th. It's all brought to you by Verizon. Again, caller 6 right now to the Score contest line. That's 312-540-0670. Get those tickets. Come see Ian Happ and thems. And by thems, I mean us.
I'm still laughing at the text thread right now, the text line, because all I see is 859. You can set it to the amount you want to feed him. And then underneath is Grody. I know, but he overeats.
Right. No, I would get one of those food continuous feeder things, but I'm just afraid. And maybe he would. Maybe he would learn to discipline himself.
No. You said he's a baby. So
he's just a baby.
Guys, here's the problem with trying to think that you can afford lobster in Maine if you live in the news industry and that kind of market size. The Maine lobster could be the cheapest it is all over the world, but you're still making a news salary in Maine. So that's the issue.
Yeah, but isn't the lobster in Maine cheaper because it's like there?
Not cheap enough to justify the news salary, unfortunately. I started out at a cool $18,000 a year working 60 hours a week with no overtime.
When I covered the White Sox in the 2005 World Series run, one of the stops was Boston. And or El Duque, everybody, how you doing? That was one of my first traveling experiences, and I had a company credit card or whatever. However, I was doing it, and I did have lobster three times. And
you're rich.
I had the company credit card.
I know,
and they were cool about it, which was very nice. So one time I used it though in San Diego to go to the zoo, the San Diego Zoo.
You and
it
was used the company credit card to go to the San Diego. That's a nice zoo. That's a nice zoo.
I know, $65. And I thought, well, this is a productive thing to do. And Ron Gleason down the hallway is like, what's this? Oh, I can't have that. I don't think so. That's going right back on your bill. I'm like, okay.
You got busted for going to the zoo?
Busted for going to the zoo. Everybody's out partying. I'm just going to the zoo.
The San Diego Zoo is incredible. I used to live by it. And most importantly, as a young, impressionable child, do you know what I saw there one time?
Panda?
A two-headed snake. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Why did I think it was going to be some type of birth? But no, the two-headed snake is up there.
My brother and I just stood there, dumbfounded, looking at the container for the snake the whole time. People asked us to move, and I'm like, no, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's a cool zoo.
Nothing has topped that, ever.
It's such a massive zoo, though. Like the walking.
It takes a whole day.
It takes a whole day. We're not talking about Brookfield or Lincoln Park Zoo here, folks, which are both great zoos, but that thing, man.
No one's zoo shaming. We're good.
Frankly, zoo talk is more productive than the Bill Belichick drama. Do we have time to play the latest? We don't? Okay. It's not that important anyway. I guess the big update here, well, it is important, but I'm saying like the big update here is that, in case you're wondering, Bill Belichick's girlfriend did not win Miss Maine USA. Congratulations, Shelby.
That's fine. I mean, I wish Bill Belichick all the best and his girlfriend. I hope they have a happy life together.
They achieve their goal.
Guys,
whatever that may be.
Guys,
do you think they have the same goals?
I don't know.
Marshall, I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
Because you're pretty good with the relationship stuff.
I also know when to opt out. I know when to hit that eject button.
But that's the question. How long does this last? What's the over-under? Would you set it at? Set the over-under.
You set the over-under and I'll pick.
Okay, got you. I'm going to set it at from right now.
From right now. Okay, go ahead.
3 more years.
Oh, I'll take the over.
Really?
Years?
Yep. Take the over.
Can we get under. Circa on this or something?
Under.
I'm taking the over on 3 years.
Layla?
Under.
Yeah.
Grady in Iowa says that, $5.99 a pound for a whole steamed lobster?
See?
That seems very cheap.
Relatively speaking, yes.
In
but
May?
According
May?
To new salaries, still too much money, I'm afraid.
It could be a special treat once a month.
Wait,
or once every 3 months.
Is that a real lobster?
A little mixed with a little imitation.
Well, of course, we're incredulous in Chicago. We don't live next to salt water.
That's true.
We live next to the big old lake.
Right.
And salmon are in there, but they're expensive.
Yeah, you can't eat the salmon out of the lake, though, can you?
I don't know.
Oh. Sure you can.
Okay. Oh, I don't know.
Unless it's got two heads, then you probably don't want to do that.
No, you don't.
Two-headed snake was the greatest thing ever. Like, I don't know how to explain this
to
you guys.
Was it a poisonous snake? Was it like a garter snake?
I don't know. What, it was a snake that was there.
It was a snake in a cage.
No, I got to know.
Not. It wasn't on a plane.
I could ask my brother. Let me text him.
And a cage. Okay.
He's only working on a satellite for Amazon. He has free time. Adele.
That's your favorite movie.
He works for Jeff? Two-headed snake. What?
He works for Jeff?
Not only does he work for Jeff, he works in chip design. His name is on a satellite they just launched.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's smart. Hey, Adele, do you remember the two-headed snake we saw? Do you remember, what else do you remember about it?
Mm. Yeah, I want to know if it had fangs. Did it have fangs? I
mean, it probably did.
Well, you should remember this, Layla.
I wasn't really looking at the fang portion of the snake.
She was looking at the heads.
Well, I mean, I would want to know. Did it have a little rattle on the end of it?
So I don't remember that either. Grody and I are very enthralled by the snake conversation. How dare you? What's better than that?
Yeah, Ray's always trying to ruin the fun.
Michael Jordan coming back to the NBA is better than that.
Okay, so that's it. The bar has been set.
Michael Jordan
talking about the NBA,
his betting
two-headed
segment,
snake.
His future betting segment on NBA on NBC.
How dare you? What if that happens? Coming up next, there's one way to top this. Matt Spiegel and Mark, and well, Mark Grody's already here. Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes come in next. Also Grody. Mm-hmm.